So much. Well, on the front of your bulletin, you saw that part of a verse, James chapter 4, verse 2, you have not because you ask not. Now, there are some times when we pray and it doesn't get answered like we want. That's a given. Sometimes God says no, but I've lived long enough, and I believe most of you have as well, to thank God for the things that he said no about. And sometimes he says yes, and then sometimes he says, I'll do it later. That's not necessarily the way he says it, but he says, not yet, but it will come eventually. But I'm thinking about this, how embarrassed, if that's the way we look at it, I don't know, but how much of a shame it will be when we know all of the things we could have had, all of the blessings, all of the victories and salvation of souls and different difficulties that we could have had power or victory over. But we did not, and the reason was we didn't ask. I'm a huge believer that the reason that most prayers go unanswered is that most prayers go unsaid. I just don't think it's the fact that we're really praying, and that, boy, God just didn't answer that. I think most of the time we get so busy, we just forget to pray. Or we're worrying too much, we don't pray, and we replace prayer with worry. So you have not because you ask not. But I want to spend this time this evening, so not so much of a Bible study, but you will be using your Bible as we go place to place, and looking as we prepare for revival. And I want to challenge you on a practical standpoint, and that's this, that I know that everybody's schedule is different, and I'm not pretending that you'll that if something is pressing and work is there, I understand that you may not be able to make it. But I am asking you this. If you can make it, you ought to make it. And you ought to make it a priority to be here because the Lord, I believe, wants to do a work in our hearts. But here's what I want to challenge you to do as you do come. Sometimes we come into a church service about like that person that's sliding into home underneath the catcher's mitt, and they're getting sliding in there just in the nick of time, barely get it, and they're safe. Sometimes we come to church about like that. We haven't prepared. We are just running in right in here, and I understand. I thank God for everybody who runs in here last minute and just comes on in. I appreciate that. But if I could add something to that running, if I could add something to that drive here, if I could add something to that time before you get here, you start preparing your heart. So, Lord, I'm going to go in there, and I know this by me, that I've been about ready at the end of a few services to go to church. Does that make sense? You should have been ready at the beginning of the service. I know. I was there. In body, I was there, but I wasn't ready. And so I got my heart prepared through the singing. That helped a little bit. And then through the preaching and through some of the Bibles. Like, wow, that's starting to warm my heart. And I got ready at the end to where I should have been at the beginning. And so I'm challenging you as next week comes that we not be like that baseball player that just slides into home plate right on the right at the last second, just underneath the wire, so to speak. But instead, we come in here ready. And that might take us throughout the day thinking about some things and keeping our hearts right in tune with the Lord and keeping our sins confessed up and getting ready, that anticipating spirit that we have. Said, I can't wait to see what the Lord does in my heart. So if I could ask you to come with an expectancy, I believe that it would be a wonderful, wonderful meeting. So we're going to look through a couple things, and then we'll ask somebody to pray, and then we'll go on to the next thing. So first of all, and it would have been on your Monday as we were praying, if you had a list out sometime, but we're praying for preparation, meaning that we are praying for a prepared heart and so that we can see what the Lord would do. I want you to look, if you would, in Ezra chapter number 7, Ezra in the Old Testament, 1st, 2nd Chronicles. And it comes Ezra. If you're in 2 Chronicles, you'll see that you're not too far. 1st and 2nd ones, they're a big section there. And 1st and 2nd Samuel, 1st and 2nd Kings, 1st and 2nd Chronicles, Ezra. And so we're going to see here in Ezra chapter 7, verse number 10. And we're going to see that Ezra prepares his heart. And as we think about this, we realize that Ezra, in the first few verses of this, they're given the qualifications and how he can stand in the position that God has raised him up to play. But in verse number 10 gives this phrase, "For Ezra had prepared his heart to seek the law of the Lord and to do it and to teach in Israel statutes and judgments." So if we're going to do something, we're going to do it effectively, then we're going to have to prepare. Very little comes without a lot of preparation. If anything comes without preparation, it may not be worth having. You understand that if you're trying to paint a room, well, the preparation of it is about as, is more important than the rolling of that roller. Because getting it prepped and getting it ready and getting the holes, as they always tell you, that the divots and the holes and the imperfections are going to show more after the paint than it did before the paint. You think, that looks pretty good. And then you put a coat of paint on it, it doesn't look as good as you thought it would. And so preparation is the key for so many things in life. And it certainly is as we come to this revival time. So as Ezra, the Bible says, prepared his heart, I'm asking you to prepare your heart for what the Lord wants to do. You say, what does the Lord want to do? I don't know. But shouldn't we be ready for whatever he wants to do? If he wants to put a burden on us to do something in somebody's life, if he wants to put a burden on us to do something in our family, if he wants to put a burden on us to do something here at the church, or he wants to burden us to get into his word more, whatever it is that he wants to burden us, I know that he wants us to get closer, and that should be the general desire of all of us. But I don't know specifically, but Ezra says that he prepared his heart, and he prepared his heart to seek the law of the Lord. Now, there may be some things that you can seek and look for on accident. But if you're going to find the Lord, the law of the Lord, you're going to find what God wants, it's going to be on purpose. And we want to prepare our hearts. And so I trust that you'll jot that verse down if you don't have it written somewhere else, but Ezra chapter 7, verse number 10. Not only that, we're going to look in the New Testament. We'll go back and forth here a little bit, but in Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians is a wonderful book of the Bible, and it's a passage that I bring you to tonight in chapter 6, verse number 19. I want to challenge you to pray for Brother Arthur. Joe Arthur pastors down around Atlanta, Georgia, Harvest Baptist Tabernacle. He's got a full schedule for the church, but then he also travels most weeks of the year, maybe 48. I think one year he traveled 48 weeks out of 52. That's a lot of them. And so he's a busy person. He's in demand. He preaches a lot of camp meetings and tent meetings and revivals and all. But we're praying that God would use him in a special way. There's a man doesn't bring revival any more than just this building, just because it sits here, could bring a revival. But I do believe that God could use him, and if he stays true to the word and he stays, if he's filled with the Spirit, then God could really use him in a special way in our lives. And so I want you to look at chapter 6, verse 19 of Ephesians. The Apostle Paul used of God here to write to ask these people a few things. They've instructed them, of course, earlier. But now he's telling them to pray in verse number 18, always with all prayer and supplication. But look in verse 19 what he's asked. And for me, praying for me, of course, and for me, that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I'm an ambassador in bonds, that therein I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. Now, Brother Joe Arthur is a very lively, bombastic person. I don't know what message he's going to preach, of course. I don't dictate that. But he's a very bombastic person. But you can be bombastic and not have the utterance that the Lord wants you to have. Just because somebody hollers and screams doesn't mean that the Lord's on them. And just because somebody's quiet and sedate and monotone doesn't mean that the Lord is not using them. There's all different kinds of people. He happens to be a more lively one. But we don't want lively antics. We want Spirit-filled pastor to come and preach to us. And so I'm challenging you, if you'd make some notes, that that you would pray and ask the Lord to bless Brother Arthur, that God would protect him, that he would fill him with his Spirit, that he would use him in a way, he would give him leadership toward the messages, that he would have us to hear at Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church for this few days of a meeting. So pray for him. So I'd like to stop for just a moment and see, Brother Graham, would you mind helping out here just a little bit and pray? And you can just sit right there. But pray for Brother Joe Arthur that God would use him in a special way as he comes our way next week.
Lord, we come to you tonight and we're thinking about the meetings that begin soon. And we ask you especially, Lord, that as we are considering our part, and as we consider the man that you have sent to be here, that you would prepare his heart and his life as well as our own. Lord, I pray for Brother Joe sitting here tonight thinking of his coming. And I ask you, Lord, work in my life through his preaching to tell me the things, to teach me the things, to change the things that need to be done. We pray for his health. We pray for his strength. We pray that he'll not just show up to do some meetings, but he'll show up with his heart attuned to your spirit so that we can hear from you. And we ask this, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. If you just keep that for just a second, I'll have you take it back to Shannon here in just a moment. I failed to pray on this first one about preparation. As Ezra prepared his heart, Brother Shannon's one of our deacons, and I'm going to ask him if he would pray for our church. Not some will be here that aren't here tonight, I understand, but that he would pray for us, and I want you to pray along with him that the Lord would help us to come with expectant hearts. And we would have those prepared hearts. Now, please don't misunderstand. If you get to the end of your work day and it's and you've forgotten to pray and you've forgotten to be expectant, you've forgotten to get yourself ready, you come on anyways. Don't say, well, I forgot to prepare, so I forgot to pray while I was driving around making sales calls or whatever. I forgot to do that, so I won't come. No, don't do that. You come on anyways, but try to remember to come with that expectant heart. And would you get Shannon that? And Brother Shannon, would you pray and ask the Lord to help us remember to have those prepared hearts and ask him to just prepare us as we go into this revival.
Dear Lord, I thank you for your word. And Lord, clearly in your word, you want our hearts to be open. And Lord, I pray that even now, even this evening, even the next days, that you'll help us to seek you. And Lord, we'll look to please you in our preparation for next week. And Lord, I pray, Lord, that you'll help us put our pride away, Lord, get the things out of our life that would cause a hindrance, Lord, for God, for you to do a work in our hearts. Lord, I pray, Lord, that every moment that we'll be tender, Lord, that we'll be attentive, Lord, that even the attempts that Satan will make during the week to distract us, to get our eyes off of you, Lord, that you'll help us, give us the strength, Lord, give us the focus and the commitment and determination, Lord, to go forward for you, and Lord, to open our hearts and be tender to the working of the Holy Spirit, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Just hold that for just a second there, if you don't mind. I want you to turn to Matthew chapter 6, verse number 6, if you will. We're going to look at that prayer closet and not look at the specific aspect of the prayer closet that we usually think about, and that would be that, well, you need to pray, and you do need to pray. We all need to. But to look at this prayer closet in this instance, and that is that this person referenced here, he is taking the time to enter into a spot to do a specific work and let the Lord do something in their life. And they're praying in secret, asking the Father that seeth in secret to reward thee openly. So we're looking at Matthew chapter 6, verse number 6. The Bible says, but thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet. And when thou shut thy door, pray to the Father, to thy Father, which is in secret, and thy Father, which seeth in secret, shall reward thee openly. But when you pray, use not vain repetitions as the heathen do, for they think that they shall be heard of their much speaking. I watched a video one time of a pagan group of people, basically did not believe in the Lord, and they had a true prayer wheel, and they had some kind of prayers embedded in this cylinder that turned, and they were written on the outside or stuck in there, I don't remember that part, and they would just turn that and they would spin it, and so those prayers were supposed to be being sent up to their deity. Well, we don't use vain repetition, say, oh, Lord, this, Lord, this, Lord, this, Lord, this, you know, just as if enough verbiage gets done, then that's going to somehow count for the Lord. And so we need that sincerity in that. But I specifically want to draw this part out as we apply this, and that is that these folks that are mentioned here as God gives us this teaching about prayer, he talks about a person that's a specific person but goes to a specific place for a specific purpose to pray. And so I don't want to miss apply that in this way, but I'm praying that God would bring a specific group of people here for a specific purpose to come and to listen to the Lord as we hear from the singing, we hear from the preaching, though, and we hear what the Lord would have us to hear. And so I want us to pray for just a little bit that people would set aside a part of their night, two nights, all three nights, I hope, but set aside that time to come and come praying, come listening, but they would specifically come. Now, here's the temptation all of us would have. Lord willing, I'll be here all three nights, unless I'm sick or something like that, but I'll be here. But I'm the pastor, you expect that, I know. But here's the temptation we'd have. Well, I'll just catch it online because I can get the message. And you can. I thank God for the McGee's. I was talking to people today again about how much of a blessing the live stream is and what a great ministry that has turned out to be. But almost everybody tells me the same thing. It's just not the same as being there. And I want us to pray, and Brother Rick Hall, I'm going to ask you if you would. I'm going to pray, or ask him to pray rather, that we would have a group of people that set aside a night, two nights, all three nights, but that we would have it as this person set aside that time to go in their prayer closet because they wanted to speak to the Lord. Well, we're asking people to set aside a portion of their time to come to let the Lord speak to them. And so I guess what I'm saying, Brother Rick, is that we would have people that would make that decision. Yes, if at all possible, I want to be at revival services on Monday. I want to be at revival services when I can be. And so, Rick, would you pray that God would help some folks to come in here next Monday?
Father, we come to you again, and we ask this message of prayer that we take it seriously, and that, Father, those that that they will commit to spend time in prayer and set a time to do so. And we ask that you give guidance to that, and you would give a commitment to their heart that they would take the time to pray and to be in a prayerful notion throughout the day, whether it be in the morning or evening or before revival, that their heart might be burdened to spend time in prayer and talk to you, that you might draw close to us and that we might draw close to you. And we thank you for that opportunity to even speak to you, but you're the great I am, and we have that privilege, and we thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Well, I want to take just a little break, and I'm going to go on to another passage here in just a minute, but you may be thinking, well, why are we spending this whole service time just praying about what's going to happen next Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, because it's going to happen whether we want to or not? But I'll get to a little bit more at the end, but I want us to think about this. This could be a marvelous working of the Lord right here in our midst. And as Stephanie put on our prayer bulletin this evening, I don't want it to be that we have not because we ask not. This could be what helps a family. We could have a visiting family come, and I don't want to get on all of the emotional side of things that may just trump up things or potential situations, but we would have some families here, some visiting families, and some folks that are having difficulties, and that the Lord might just really do a work on their heart. We might have somebody come in here that's a church member, faithful as can be, but just having a horrible time in their life, and the Lord just ministers to them in such a wonderful way. You see, revival is not so much that a group of people get saved. That's an evangelistic meeting. Revival is something where those that are saved, they just get livened up, revived. And so that's why I want to take this time. I don't want it to pass and for us to say, you know, we should have just taken a little bit more time to pray about that. I want to take the time to pray about that. I want to do exactly that. So if you would, I'd like for you to turn to Philippians chapter number 1. And I want to talk for a little bit about unity. About this unity that we could have. Philippians chapter 1, verse number 27. God's using the apostle to give some exhorting exhortation to those that are having tough times and they're afflicted about different things in life. I don't know how many of you grew up with siblings, but whenever you're fighting, it's hard to have a whole lot of unity. It's hard for you to say, Well, I love everything about my life. I just don't like that person over there. I heard a preacher not too long ago, and he was talking, maybe it was last night, but he was talking about a group of children, and in his children couldn't come. He was just making a hypothetical. He said, you wouldn't have a child that would come and say, Dad, I love you. I love everything about you. I want you. I want to honor you. I want to do what you want, but I hate my sister. Hard for to love the parent without loving the children that you're a sibling with. And so if you grew up with siblings, you know that whenever something's wrong between you and your brothers, you and your sisters, it's hard to have harmony and unity, obviously, between you two, but amongst everybody else as well. Now, you may have a little camaraderie in that you've got another one that also doesn't like your sister, and so you're mad at her together, but that's not really unity. That's just having a common enemy. So I want you to look at Philippians chapter 1, verse 27. Only let your conversation or your lifestyle be as it becometh the gospel of Christ, that whether I come and see you or else be absent, the apostle says that I may or may not make it, regardless of that, but regardless of whether I do or don't come, that I may hear of your affairs and that you stand fast in one spirit, with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel. That I may hear of your affairs, that you stand fast in one spirit, with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel. And so I would like for us tonight to pray for strength, so to speak, but through unity of our church. And if there is something that is at odds or that you're having an issue with between you and somebody else, my friend, you ought to just try before the Lord to get over it. Matthew chapter 18 or so tells you if you can't get over it, how you're supposed to go to that person. Go to them one-on-one and get it fixed. If that doesn't happen, it gives you the whole layout there. But the best thing that you can do is just ask the Lord to, Lord, help me get over that. And there may be somebody here that's got a grudge against somebody else. You understand that the Apostle Paul used of God to write to these folks. He said that he wanted to stand fast in one spirit with one mind, meaning that you think the same about these different things. And that would be a wonderful thing. I believe that all of us ought to be able to walk up this aisle and down this aisle and not have one thing against anybody else. You're not going to be best friends with everybody. One person's got totally different likes than you do, and you have nothing in common except for Christ. You may be an outdoorsman, and their idea of roughing it is having one of those hotels with the doors that come to the outside corridors. That's how my wife, she said, well, it's really rough. We had to use one of those hotels where you couldn't walk down the hall to the lobby. You had to walk outside. So you may have totally different likes and things like that. I understand. You're not going to be bosom buddies with everybody. But as a church, I'm talking about not just for Wednesday night, but Sunday morning. If everybody were in here, you ought to be able to walk down one aisle and walk up the other aisle. And you may not know everybody as well as another, but your blood pressure shouldn't go up when you see one person over another person. Because we ought to have that unity, that one spirit, one mind. And if there is something, and it may be legitimate, I'm not minimizing what you have had trouble getting over, but I would challenge you to help ask God to help you get over that. And again, if you can't, then follow the biblical mandate that's laid out there of how to do it. So we want to pray for unity, that God would give us that together, that we would all be seeking this. We'd be seeking Him to do a good work in every family's life of this church. He'd do a good work in every single person's life in this church, that He'd revive us, that He would get us more concerned about souls than we've ever been before, that He would get us more in love with missionaries than ever before. He would get us more together in our family and spouses and love their wives and their husbands more than ever before, that we would have that unity. So, with that being said, Brother Rick, if you wouldn't mind to bring that up to Jeff, Brother Jeff Wills, would you pray for our church? We would have that unity, that God would just give us a spirit that is just one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel.
Heavenly Father, thank you for this time to pray. I think about the church, Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church,
I know that pastor and everyone probably in this room wants to see souls saved and want to see the church grow. They want to see the folks here just love Jesus and put him first. And that's going to take, dear Heavenly Father, all of us caring about each other. If we're Christ-like, we know that the Lord loves everyone equally. He has no favorites. And Lord, help us to love our brothers and sisters in Christ. Help us to be always there for them, to encourage them, to do whatever we possibly can for them, dear Heavenly Father. And as we prepare for this revival, dear Lord, I just pray that if we have aught against our brother, that maybe we would solve that before this revival even comes. And Lord, I just ask that you'll just move on each and every one of us as we pray. Help us, dear Heavenly Father, not be selfish with our lives when it comes to this church and its people, dear Lord, because we want you to work on our hearts and we want you to change us and we want you to make us more like Christ than ever before, dear Heavenly Father. So I just pray that we'll take the time to make sure that our hearts are right with each and every person that goes to this church, and Lord, realize that you love them, and therefore we ought to love them as well. So dear Lord, just be with us, I pray in Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Well, I want to take you to one last passage. I might make a reference to another verse, but I want to take you to one last one. Ezra, again, you were in Ezra chapter 9. You found 1 Samuel, 2 Samuel, 1 Kings, 2 Kings, 1 Chronicles, 2 Chronicles, then Ezra. So Ezra, just it kind of continues on where 2 Chronicles ends and shows how God promises to bring his people back to their land and all of these different things. But I want you to look at Ezra chapter number 9. And I trust that the Lord would do a work in your heart as you think about this. He's talking about the faithfulness of God in these verses leading up to verse 8. I got confused again. But God's faithfulness there is laid out in verses 5, 6, 7. But then look at verse number 8. I love this phrase of the way that God puts it out. And now, for a little space, grace has been showed from the Lord our God to leave us a remnant to escape and to give us a nail in his holy place that our God may lighten our eyes and give us a little reviving in our bondage. Now, you know the story of the Israelites that they were in by their own making, the problems that they had had. They'd been held captive different times, and they were up and down many different times. And this is one of the times that Ezra is used of God to, in this book of Ezra, it's listed out here. It's talking how specifically God had given this little space grace, little space of grace. And then it goes on to say, I can't help but love the phraseology of the Bible. It says, a nail in his holy place. And then it ends by saying there's a little reviving in our bondage. But I think about that nail in his holy place. There have been times in our nation's history when God has given a little nail to hang on to. You know what nails are handy for? You've got something, I'm thinking about an old farmhouse or an old shed or an old barn as you go through there. You know, as soon as you come in that door, you need something every time you come in there. And you just put an old nail there, and that's where something hangs. Now, if you get more fancy, you'd have a nice little coat hook and all that. But if you're just doing a barn, you don't do that. Just take a nail and put it in there because that's where something's going to hang. And every time you go in there, that's what you're going to need. And I think about this as God says that he give us a nail in his holy place. They might lighten our eyes, give us a little reviving in our bondage. Because some people in this room are probably thinking, well, Brother John, you know that this world is going to pot. You know it's just going... And it is. You read the scriptures just like I do. You know prophecy, and you know the end of all of this. I understand that. So I'm not saying that we're never going to turn scripture around and do different than what the scripture says is going to play out. But there's also nothing in scripture that says that Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church couldn't have a swelling of revival and see God do a great work before end times come. A nail in his holy place, a little space, grace could be given. And so what I'd like to think about is this, the Great Awakening, that really in two steps away from is the reason this church sits here. George Whitfield up in the Northeast reached a young man. And as Shubal Stearns comes down to North Carolina and as he ministers there, and a young man gets reached by his ministry, comes from there over to here to be Titans Lane and start this church. And so the Great Awakening was a time not when people were using marketing and they weren't trying to come up with social media platforms so that they could have people that would come and engage and make engagements with their social media platform and trying to get followers. None of that, of course, was around. But God just did an amazing work in our nation. If you ever want some interesting study, I mean, it would be great books to read. But God did a great work, so much that people label it the Great Awakening. And they sought the Lord. And I'm thinking of that, and that being two steps or so away from this church, sitting up on the old cemetery spot up there not far from here. Well, that was a nail that God put in his plan, and he did a great work there that people couldn't explain. And I bring you to this verse because for a little space, grace is here. We have the wonderful opportunity to have this church open, and we will. Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. And we're inviting people to come in from other churches, we're inviting our church family, inviting anybody to come. And there's for a little space, grace has been given. Because you understand that there are many countries that couldn't do what we're doing right here. You couldn't open arms and open these doors up and just say, come on in. They'd be too worried about somebody that would turn them over to authority. But a little space has been given. The grace has been opened for us. And I'm wanting us to pray that perhaps that God would put that nail that we might hang a little bit of his work on, and we'd see him do a great work in our midst. Jeremiah chapter 33, verse 3 says this, call unto me, and I will answer thee, and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. That verse so moved us that some years back we used it as our theme, great and mighty things. Well, that's not over just because that theme of the year is over. Great and mighty things, that's what I'd like for us to pray for. And so I'd like to lead you in prayer for the last one. And I'd like for you to pray along with me. And as we pray, I'd like for us to just take it to the Lord. Say, Lord, it could be that right here on Suncrest Street that you do a great work. Wouldn't it be amazing if the Lord would start something right here at this place that could not be explained humanly? And I, for one, want to ask for it. You say, well, what if he doesn't give it? Well, I don't want to get to the end and say, well, it didn't happen and we have not because we asked not. Let's pray together. Lord, we come to you now asking you that you would give us that little space, that grace might abound in this place. And Lord, I pray that this church, we could see a little nail in your plan that we could hang on. You've just given an opportunity for your work to go forward. And Lord, I don't know what you want to do next week, but I pray that you'd work in my heart. I pray you'd work in Amy's heart and Maddie's heart. Lord, I pray you'd work in every heart. And I pray, dear Lord, as these folks have prayed before, that we would have a group that would just say, I'll be there. And I pray, dear Lord, that we'd have a group of those people that say they'll be there, that say, I'm going to be prepared. And then we'd have a group of those people that are prepared and here would say, I'm going to be there in unity. I'm going to be there without aught and animosity toward my brother or sister. Lord, I want you to do a great work. Please, I pray that you would. If our instrumentalists would just begin to play, and here's our invitation. You don't have to come forward. You're welcome to, of course. But I want you to join me in prayer that God would do a great work right here, literally in this auditorium. But the work would start now. Start in our hearts, and we'd be mulling some things over. We'd be getting things right. We'd be preparing our hearts, preparing our minds to seek the Lord. The Lord wants to do a great work. I know it's not that he doesn't want to. And it's not that he cannot, can't. but it could be that we don't want it bad enough. And I pray that as we walk out of here, that won't be true either. If you're able to and you want to come to the front, you're welcome to, or keep an altar out of your seat right there. Just pray. Ask the Lord to send revival. As they continue to play, I always ask, I want to keep the gospel forefront. If you're here tonight, not sure that you're on your way to heaven, my friend, please don't leave out of this church building not knowing that for certain. I'd love to take my Bible and show you how you can be sure about that. This is your time. If you don't know for sure you're on your way to heaven, step out, please, and don't be afraid to be embarrassed. Nobody would be thinking anything but wonderful thoughts about you if you'd step out and let me take the scriptures and show you how you can be saved. Thank you so much. You may look this way. Well, I trust that it's been a good prayer meeting for us tonight, and I hope that I leave you with this burden on your heart to pray. Now, I may be talking to somebody, say, I'm not here all week. I've got called out for work, and I've got to be out of town. You're not off the hook. Pray that God would do something. You can pray from Indiana or wherever you're going to be for work all week. You can pray that God would do a great work right here. And so we can all have part of this thing. And so please be in fervent prayer that the Lord would do something and special in our hearts. And you say, what something are you waiting for? I'd say that would probably vary from every person in here. And but I know He wants to get us all closer to Him. And so as we walk out of this place, let's have that determination to be in prayer for this revival. Thank you so much for being in church tonight. You stand together. God bless you. You're dismissed.